Get your home secured for less than a dollar a day with no installation or equipment charges and a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You can get security for your home. 800-915-8941. 800-915-8941. Do you know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Is their addiction spiraling out of control? Get sober now. 800-959-6348. Private insurance may cover costs with Elite Rehab Placement. 800-959-6348.
It's The Buzz 24-7 at MorningBuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Bibbidi-bop. Hey, everybody. Archive Friday. How are you? You good? I hope so. We all hope so. Hope you got some plans this weekend, at least a little bit of time to breathe, relax, maybe have some fun. Today on the Buzz Archive Friday, dipping way back, God, I think 2011, when Don Barnes and another member of 38 Special came in and hung out in the studio with us. What a great, great couple of guys. We've had a great relationship with this band throughout the years, and here's the first time, well, no, second time, actually. We met 38 Special in studio on Archive Friday. Don Barnes and Danny Chauncey, ladies and gentlemen, from 38 Special.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, welcome welcome back to New Hampshire.
The Morning Buzz. We've had plenty of morning buzzes before.
You know, I'm sure you have. We met at New Hampshire Motor Speedway.
We did.
Right? Was that last summer? I think it was last summer.
I think we had a morning buzz then, too. Didn't we?
I remember Donnie did. I can say that. Yeah. You guys were very, very happy that day. So welcome back to New Hampshire. Excited
Thanks
to have you guys play
Thanks.
Tonight.
It's a beautiful New England morning here.
Oh, it is. So welcome.
A few of the band members are flying in from Florida, and I'm like, oh, they're just going to get on the plane, enjoy the AC, and then get off. Like, they're still in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 100 degrees here. Yeah,
it's going to be hot in the casino tonight.
So things well out on the road?
Doing fine.
Well?
We still do 100 cities a year. Can you believe that?
Wow. Yeah.
We're still, like, you know, out there trying to be 19 years old again.
but isn't that a good, I mean, that's a good thing, right? Because, I mean, you guys have been at, you've been at it for a while, certainly millions of fans, and they're still out there. Hey, let's, I want to go see 38 Special.
It's amazing. We started like any band, you get cops called on you for being too loud in a garage playing somewhere, you know. But, you know, longevity in the first place was our goal, and here we are still, you know. We started, let's see, what, Rockin' to the Night was 1979, was it?
Yeah.
1979? We were like sixth grade back then, so.
How did it, you know, I don't know, we talked about that. I mean, Danny's here and Don are here, and how did it start? I mean, when we talked at the racetrack, we didn't have a whole lot of time, but I'm always interested in, like, you know, hey, this guy had a bass, I had a guitar. What were the origins of 38 Special?
Actually, it was about 15 other bands before 38 Special. Neighborhood guys, you know, and of course the weaker ones would fall along the wayside, and we wouldn't show up for rehearsal, and we'd steal the best drummer from this other competitive band across town, and, you know, put them all together. So eventually we were able to have some cohesiveness there, you know. Right. But of course, Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, our association, we all came from the same neighborhood. Mm. I've said before, you could hit a 7-iron in west side of Jacksonville and pretty much hit every southern rock musician there. Allman Brothers, Skynyrd, Molly Hatchett, who else?
But you
Blackfoot.
Know, yeah, but it's interesting that you say that, because that was one of the things that I was going to ask about, is that, you know, I knew that you originated in Florida, and I knew, you know, there's a lot of bands from that area, but both like southern rock and rock bands, but I don't know if there's one area of the country that gave so much, other, maybe Seattle, given the grunge movement, but the southern rock thing seems to have
it's
come
like
from
the opposite corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Seems to come from that one. I mean, look, you can have a great band, but that doesn't mean you're going to write great songs. But the fact that a lot of bands wrote great songs from that area, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, actually, you know, I always joke about, if you want to know what Jacksonville was like in the 1970s, go there now. You know,
yeah, right.
It's still the same, but it was a Navy town. It was a lot of four naval bases there. So as kids, we played sailors clubs. All of us did. All the Skynyrd guys. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to learn the structures of songs at, you know, 15 years old and make $100 a week. You're doing great. So, and then we got arrogant, cocky, and think, well, I can write my own songs. And then you starve for the next decade. So I guess if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right?
Now, Danny, are you from that area, too, or no? From another part of the country?
I'm originally from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these guys called me up because they needed some serious help.
Man just wasn't going anywhere.
They were going nowhere. And,
but, you know, but there's another area, too. There's another hotbed of so many bands came out of the Bay Area.
Sure.
You know, especially in the city. 60s, I mean, the Bay Area was the hotbed. That was the hotbed for that countercultural music thing in the 60s, which you had to have lived at least through.
Was that a Navy town, too?
Yeah, it's a big Navy town.
We owe everything to the Navy, right?
Yeah right.
I think it did, but San Francisco didn't really give rise to the kind of genre that the South did.
Yeah.
You know, that whole Jackson, I mean, the Southern rock is like its own thing. A lot of different kind of bands came out of San Francisco area, but there's definitely something about the Jacksonville area, how each band just influenced each other. You know, the Allman Brothers, I think, came out first, and after that, everyone was just trying to be...
Was it all emulating them? Was it all let's do that?
At first, everybody was trying to copy that, but then we realized that, you know, this had already been done by the best, so, you know, you have to be... Try to find your own identity and put your own influences in the songs.
Was there ever infighting between, not members of 38 Special, but, you know, like, whenever there is a lot of bands, and Roadkill is a local musician as well, and you get sometimes bands from the same town have this weird competition infighting kind of thing going.
They don't take care of each other, sometimes. It's like, well, my bass player is sick, he can't make a gig tonight, and they're like, well, you're not taking ours. Where other bands are like, dude, you know.
Share.
You just said you stole drummers and
that's
stuff.
Right.
So.
It's the same down there. It's like I said, it's competitive with each other, but you're trying to blow each other off the stage, you know, every time. And we kind of learned that little bit from Ronnie Van Zandt from Skinner that you go out and try to, God help who has to follow you, because you're going to try to burn the place down.
So come off stage and go literally follow that.
Pretty
much.
Yeah.
You guys have been on the road for a while, 38 Special, they're doing a very successful tour. And I know that you just, within the last year, I think you played Cuba, you played Gitmo, didn't you?
We did.
How crazy is that?
It was awesome. It was really awesome. It's an intense place, because there's like two different parts to Gitmo. There is the part that's, you know, like where the town is and where most of the base is, which is like a lot of other bases we've been to. And then they were going to give us the tour of, you know, the big deal camp.
Sure.
And you got to go over this hill, and all the MPs all of a sudden look different. They're like twice as big, like football players, and you know it's a serious deal.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But it was very, very cool. It was a real honor to be
Nicholson's up on the wall. I saw that movie. He's guarding the walls up there.
Yeah.
He's the very blanket of security he provides.
You
I sleep
want
under
me
it.
To be there.
That's damn right. You know, it was just a movie, Greg, but it's okay.
I know, I'll be honest with you, but that's what I think when I think of Gitmo.
No, he was there. He was there.
Yeah. We were lucky to have Miss Universe and Miss America there the same day. Donnie had the sash on. I'm not kidding.
But I mean, when you go to a place like that, right? I mean, everybody knows. I mean, we have an image in our mind of what our troops do, and you know, we're thankful for them certainly, and we all appreciate them. We're big on this show in showing our appreciation and actually saying it. You know, when you see somebody in a uniform or a veteran, should always say thanks to them.
Absolutely,
thank you for not only the sacrifices that they made, but for the ones that their families make as well on a daily basis. But when you go to a place like that, whether it's Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, whether it's Afghanistan, when you go to the front, it's a whole different ball of wax. You come away with a whole new perspective, don't you?
It's a whole different ball of wax. We got to sit down and have a briefing, the same kind of briefing that the senators get. We got the big, you know, high back chairs and everything with the head of the intelligence part.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he...
No nonsense.
No nonsense. You walk out of there being very, very proud and very, very grateful. You got those guys between you and the guys who are behind the barbed wire.
Yeah, and speaking of the imagery, it's a $200 million glass and steel facility, and everybody sees is just that same barbed wire 2x4.
That's right.
That thing was like 2 miles away.
Because that's what they show, right?
They show
on the news.
The actual facility itself.
Yeah.
But
we
had some great time. It was a drive-in, old drive-in. Drive-in movie theater. They put a stage up, and so we played for the Joint Task Force, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and you know, they all came out. It was just a great time, and they were so hospitable. But it was some funny times. We were taking the tour through the facility, and of course, you have to go through some areas where there's the prison yard and these Al Qaeda guys behind fences and things. But you know, they don't know English. But they saw Donnie in his hat, and all they knew was Tupac, yelling at him.
Tupac.
So,
what?
Yeah, that's all they know.
Donnie wears a black brimmed hat, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
Tupac.
Yeah.
And we looked over, kind of like laughing. The guards were going, "Don't look at him. Don't look at him."
I'd be like, do that pyramid thing.
Yeah.
Do that crazy pyramid thing. No, but it's you know, I love that, and it does. It's not surprising that you guys, because that's what you're about, is paying respect and being respectful to our troops and things like that. You've always been that way.
Yeah.
But I love it when bands do that. They acknowledge.
For some reason, we attract military and police officers. I don't know why. I guess maybe it's the Navy or something. But.
Well, you know you're safe when you're on stage.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually made some friends in New York. R.J. Buka is a cop there in New York. His brother was lost in the Trade Towers. And we get carte blanche because they had the Republican convention in the city, and they closed all the streets off. And it was all one ways, and no cars allowed in the city at all, except one big tour bus with orange cones around and stickers and things. So we got the full run there.
38 Special and Will Smith's bus. They get to go wherever they
wherever
want
they
in
want.
New York City.
That's right.
Like that. 38 Special, Don Barnes and Danny Chauncey in the studio with us.
Guys, with all the changes that's happened in the music industry and the business since you guys started in 77, are you guys, when you look at all these changes, are you guys saying to yourself, well, I'm glad we started back then and not today?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty fractured now. But, we, of course, feel very fortunate to have all this long a run. It's almost over 30 years. So, kids come up and say that they've got a little band, they want to get a record deal, they want to get, you know, so if you absolutely have to do it, you know, but if there's any more stability to fall back on, you probably should go, because it's a big sacrifice. And,
sure,
you know, birthdays, relationships, everything, you got to make it number one. If you don't, somebody else is going to make it number one and step right over you. So
pretty competitive. But with the years, I hope, comes a little bit of perspective on balance. Do you have that?
Oh, absolutely. We have to pace ourselves. You know, the debauchery happened all the 20 years ago. But,
But it's not even a debauchery as much as it is the schedule, right? Because, I mean, like, that's the debauchery's one thing. You know, the times when the partying was happening and everybody's going crazy, that's one thing. But it's also the time of just being away from the family.
Yeah.
Which hopefully you get a little bit of perspective.
And these days, we make sure that we get at least 2 hours of sleep a night. I mean, without question. I mean, the party has to end. Party ends at 5. I mean, that's...
Everybody's off the bus at 5.
Off the bus at 5.
One day, we were backstage with Def Leppard. We were expecting a bunch of girls, and they had an ice cream cart.
And the guy... It's true.
Man.
They traded in the girls and the party for an ice cream cart.
Joe Elliott was walking around eating a sundae in pajama pants. I hung it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's over.
No more rock.
The 80s, it was like 2003, but the 80s were definitely dead when I saw Joe Elliott in pajama pants.
I wrote Kelly.
While Kelly was doing news, you guys were standing out in the hallway talking to different, you know, sales, our sales girls here, and when you get recognized as, you're, you know, in 38 Special, what's the next sentence, like, what, that song, Hold On Loosely, or I Want You Back, what song do you hear about the most?
Pretty much Hold On Loosely. Yeah. That's the anthemic song, but, you know, we have a long history, so there's all these songs that make up our catalog, I guess you could say catalog, but they all have a life of their own because we watched them, of course, you know, created them and try to, you know, scratch out the right lyrics and do all that, and you see 10,000 people singing the songs, but they represent parts of our life, milestones, because we saw the meteoric climb of it, and then we start slipping on the charts, and then, well, there was that. And that represents a faction of our lives, too. But people, of course, relate them to their own personal lives. But you see high fives out there. You see tears in their eyes and, you know, singing along. And the young kids, you know, you see young guys out there. It reminds us when we saw Led Zeppelin for $6.
You know, you never think about that. You just struck on something I've never thought about. And we've had a million people in the studio. We've talked to a million bands. But, you know, the effect on a band when they watch a song slipping. On the charts. Mm-hmm. And yet I'm sitting here thinking, hey, it's on the charts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you see, maybe that's perspective talking, but, you know, when you're on a roll, you know, Special Forces comes out, mm-hmm. Wildlife, Southern Boy, all the crazy albums come out, and you get, it's number 6, number 5, and then it starts to slip. Do you get bummed out, or you're just happy that you got a chance to go to the dance?
Yeah, you call the independent promoters, like, jump on it, try to bring it back up, how much is it going to cost?
Yeah. I never thought of that. I think it's interesting that you talk about, you know, what everybody's got a favorite. You know, for me, I mean, all of the songs are great because they brought me back to a time in my life. But for me,
It's always been Fantasy Girl.
I love that.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I love all the songs, but I mean, Fantasy Girl for me, and I don't know why it's any different than Rockin' Into the Night or Caught Up in You or Back Where You Belong. But for me, Fantasy Girl that's the one. You know, I'm going to go. That's my favorite.
You're a guy because it's about longing. Dude, you know,
you don't write anthems. You write manthems. That's what you write. You got manthems, okay? Fantasy girl. This is a big fat guy in the audience going, "Yeah, fantasy girl. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Longing of someone you can never as the unattainable. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And when you watch it, when you're out there on stage, and this is a fantasy for everybody that's ever thought about wanting to be in a band, or you know, everybody who's loved a band thinks about what's it like on stage when you're out there. And you're in front of a huge audience, like you say, 10,000 people, and they're singing every word to a song you wrote. Is there any feeling like that in the world?
It's weird. I mean, we try to make it with just as much passion and commitment as the day we record it, because you can see what the reaction it's getting. So it makes us want to be 100% with it.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, well, you play those songs over and over. How does it feel?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we take it each one at a time, and that same kind of spirit.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
Yeah. Who was it? What was the band? I'm asking Andy. What was the band that didn't want to play the hit?
It was the band Extreme.
Oh, yeah.
They were
on
tour with Aerosmith, and they didn't want to play More Than Words.
Oh. Which was the number one record,
Steven
right?
Tyler went in and kicked down the door and told them, you get your asses out there and you play that effing song.
Yeah, play the hit. Play the hit. Because you'll look back on that, and that's a missed opportunity right there, right, for any band.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that. You mentioned Aerosmith, because we saw them years ago in Jacksonville when it was during their little dark period there. I think it was the 70s or 80s.
They've had a couple.
Yeah. But the same thing happened to them. Joe Perry started Dream On, and the crowd went crazy, and he was out of tune, and he just stopped, and they never played it. You know, I thought, wow, that's pretty insulting.
It is, because you're not gonna do a show without playing Hold On Loosely.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's just not gonna happen, and nor should you, really.
Right.
You know? And if you're a band, and we've seen this, if you're a band that has a lot of hits, and you're fortunate to have enough hits, and you want to go out, and I understand it. Like, who did it? Mellencamp just did it. Mellencamp came through, and he's like, look, it's not going to be a night of hits. He said it. It was in all the advertising and everything like that. But what he did after the tour started is he realized that you just can't do that. As much as you're diehard fans, I would go see my favorite artist play and not play the hits, and I would understand.
Sure.
But 9 times out of 10, the person buying that ticket doesn't know that.
Yeah. I saw Paul McCartney one time in Atlanta, and there was this big, you know, build up to his show. The movie comes on, lights go down. It's all about the Beatles and Scream in 1964. Man, Hard Day's Night chord comes on. And this big whirlwind coming up through Wings, and then the big words Now come on the screen, and a big chord comes out. McCartney walks out in the spotlight. All this anticipation, the place is screaming, and he plays this song called "Put Her There" off some obscure.
Yeah,
it was
like, dude, it's a great song.
Put her there. And I thought.
Your
lost opportunity.
Dude,
you know what I'm saying?
You got to open up with "Hello, Goodbye," or you got to give them exactly what they want right there. I saw that.
The very next time he came through, it was the same movie.
Yeah.
He'd learned his lesson. He opened up, "Close Your Eyes," and then the police go, "Oh, it was crazy." You know? But I mean, put her there. I mean, are you serious? Did 10 people buy that record? Or was it 11?
I was one of them.
I was one of them. Hey, have a great weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday, 5:30 to 10. Enjoy the weekend.
Get your home secured for less than a dollar a day with no installation or equipment charges and a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You can get security for your home. 800-915-8941. 800-915-8941. Now is the time to lock in the lowest prices we've ever seen for airline tickets with low-cost airlines. Over 500 airlines with some practically giving away seats. Call 858-988-7667. 858-988-7667.
Do you know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Is their addiction spiraling out of control? Get sober now. 800-959-6348. Private insurance may cover costs with Elite Rehab Placement. 800-959-6348.